And welcome to Bubbly Bibbly, the podcast about books and bubbles, literature and libations, authors and alcohol.
We love books and bubbly. We are friends who offer a curated book review section on our website and a hilarious podcast. We discuss books, drinks, and stories from our lives. I'm Rachel.
And I am Carmen. So I felt like we really needed some lightness after that last episode.
I totally agree. And that is yet another beauty of reading. Not only does it educate you and equip you, but a lot of people read to just escape.
Yes. And, you know, we need a break from the harsh reality of reality.
The harsh
reality of reality. And, you know, I thought there was really no better way than to talk about the books that you and I have purchased in the last few months, because you and I are purchasers. But in very different ways. So I think this was going to be a good one.
When we talk about like purchasing books, I'm still purchasing my books mainly through Kindle and Audible. Mm-hmm. I found out yesterday that you can share your Kindle library on your iPad with family members.
Oh,
which now I haven't figured out how to do that yet. So if someone has a quick idea of how to do that, please let me know. But I'm working on it.
Yeah. And I think you can only share it a certain number of times, I think. So that's how you buy. I continue to go to thrift shops, as well as the Friends of the Library Store. That is my absolute favorite, the Friends of the Library Store. And I just putter around in there and get some really, really great titles.
Yeah. Well, let's get this conversation going. So in this episode, Carmen and I are going to talk about the titles we have bought lately.
Hello, Bubblies. Let us know which of the books we've discussed in previous episodes that have caught your fancy, and if you've added them to your TBR or if you've actually read them. We really would love to hear if you like the titles we select on our podcast episodes.
Okay, girl, so first things first, what are you reading?
I am reading a book called The Book of Salt by Monique Truong, and it's about the resident Vietnamese cook for Gertrude Stein and Alice B. Toklas during their Parisian salon days. Now, I'm only about 100 pages in, so it's still pretty new, but I'm really, really digging it. What are you reading?
Okay, I love that idea, by the way. Does she talk about cooking at all yet?
First of all, it's a he.
Oh, sorry.
No, the character is a he, but the writer is a she. So
gotcha.
He talks about his own past and how he got involved in cooking. And he also talks about the relationship between Gertrude Stein and Alice Toklas. And yes, he does talk about some of the dishes he prepares.
That sounds good. I'm going to have to look into that one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm still reading the John Grisham book in the second novella, but I just finished right before that, The Hotel Nantucket by Ellen Hildebrand. Mm-hmm. And it was a little bit soap opera-ish with all the characters or the hotel staff, which included a ghost. And I really loved the characters. The only thing I didn't care for is Hildebrand wrote all the obvious nuances, like that were behind the characters' motivations and things like that. Like she wrote it all out. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
So what is in your cocktail? Beautiful cocktail glass, by the way. I see that.
This is just a silly little anchor hawking thing, but I made some ginger simple syrup last week, so I am drinking a ginger-infused vodka martini. But the thing is, I don't know if you can hear my cat in the background. He really
can hear him.
He really He's wants funny. To go out.
It's
I'm
okay.
sorry.
Let him go.
But anyway, I decided to shake it up a little bit with adding a hint of muddled cilantro. I love cilantro.
Yeah,
and
me too.
A little bit of lime. Have you ever found, Rachel, that cilantro is one of those herbs that you either love or hate?
Right. Yeah, it either tastes like dirt, and it's like a genetic thing.
You know, my mother hates cilantro. But right. And I didn't know this, but cilantro and coriander are the same thing. Did you know that?
I think I did. Coriander is the seed.
Yes.
Okay, I did know it.
Very good. So you reading those cookbooks has really paid off.
It has paid off. I finally figured out some one thing in my life.
But anyway, having that little, so I want to share something that I learned about vodka too, because we are bubbly. Bibbly, and the bubbly part, you know, is cocktails. So I was reading an article where they were interviewing the owner of Grey Goose Vodka.
Okay.
And he's
shout out to Grey Goose.
Shout out. And he said that if your vodka is a good quality vodka like Grey Goose, you should mm-hmm. not shake it. You should stir it.
Stir it.
And he's, yes, he said that. If you have a lower quality vodka, then you should shake it, because the dilution will make it, you know, a little more palatable, and you want the temperature to drop a little bit more. But stirring it just 4 or 5 revolutions with a cocktail stirrer is all you need to do before you strain a quality vodka. And I just thought that was so impressive.
So what I'm hearing you say is, if you have crap vodka, shake away. But if you have good quality vodka, top shelf vodka, yeah. Stir.
You know, let me tell you, that reminds me. I told my ex-friend Patty, I told her once, she was asking me about what kind or if I had ever tasted a particular spirit. And I told her I'd never heard of it. And she was telling me where it was in the liquor store. And I said, I don't buy anything that I have to bend down to get.
And we wonder why she's an ex-friend.
I'm bougie as fuck. Okay, so what are you drinking?
So I am drinking a strawberry margarita tonight that John made me.
Ooh.
You know, he's kind of famous for his margs. And, you know, we had...
Okay, wait just 1 second. Why would I know that John Harchenko is famous for his, as you say, margs?
Well, I'm telling you. That's why I'm telling you. He's kind of famous for him. But I put, you know, we had 2 weeks ago, we had dinner, and we talked about like our strawberry simple syrup, mm-hmm. strawberry concoction and everything. So I made some strawberry that, I don't know what you call it, concoction, fresh strawberries, and that's in the marg. But I'm drinking it in my Harry Potter tumbler. Because I'm bougie like that too.
Well, wait a minute. What,
a little
so,
classy.
You know, we did have quite a conversation about how to prepare the strawberries. So mm-hmm. we were looking for a strawberry simple syrup. So what I suggested you do was macerate the strawberries with the sugar and then strain it. How did you do it?
Well, I didn't strain it, but I did the simple. I just, because I like the seeds and everything, I like it a little thicker.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so when it stirs in a little thick. So you use less to me.
So how do you store
yeah,
it?
I took it. It's in the fridge.
Okay. Just like in a plastic Tupperware or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know that won't last long.
No. Because I put it on my oatmeal. I put it on everything.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds so good, Rachel.
It's really good. Yes. I am all about strawberries. And you can get strawberries, you know, year round now.
Yeah. But let me tell you, I want to challenge everyone to do this. Go to your market and look at where your strawberries are from. And if they're from California, smell the bottom of the plastic container. And if you can find some from Florida, smell the bottom of that plastic container. And I guarantee you the Florida strawberries are going to smell so much sweeter. And I don't understand why.
Well, I was going to say our Publix here, because we're in Alabama, mainly has Florida strawberries, and they have them for 99 cents a container right now.
Okay. We're going to have to stop this podcast, and I'm going to call you back in a little bit because I got to go to Publix.
Shout out to Publix. Now that we're all tucked in with our cocktails, let's talk some books. Lately, I am totally ignoring my bed books, my chair books, and my 2BR list. I have simply just been buying, just out, now released, all these new books that have just come out this year. I'm buying new books, newly written, and I can't stop myself right now.
Oh my gosh, Rachel. Okay, so what?
I don't know what I'm doing.
What I hear when I hear you say that is a cha-ching.
Yeah, my Kindle is going crazy right now.
But you don't get a discount on those newly released books.
There has been one that has come out that was like 25% off.
Okay, there has been one.
I know.
Well, you know,
if John is listening, I did save on one book.
I, for one, appreciate you just really supporting that end of the consumer chain, because, you know, I am buying used books, almost exclusively used books. And the reason I do that.
I don't mind that.
Well, the reason I do that is because I am cheap ass fucking cheap. And I like the physical book if I like the author or the title for my home library. And I think it is just so much better for the environment. But you buying ebooks is so much better for the environment as well.
I'm just pretty much buying that exclusively right now because I just haven't gotten out and had time to go explore, you know, the friends of the library. I just haven't found myself doing that. Yeah. So insert sad face emoji right there.
Well, I find it almost impossible to pass up the opportunity to buy a great used book at a cheap price. And I have a list on my phone as well as my Goodreads account, the app, to help me find books that I've marked that I want to read. But I also have noticed that it serves me well to not buy duplicates, which I really, really used to be so guilty of. But the one thing is you have to be diligent to mark them as owned in Goodreads.
I saw that Goodreads is doing away with some of those features, and I wasn't sure whether or not owning a book was one of them.
You know, I thought that too. And when I read more closely at the notice they sent out, I saw that you can still put down that you own it. You're just not able to tell specifics like what kind of condition it's in or who recommended it or who you'd like to recommend it to, stuff like that, and stuff that I don't normally use.
Well, I'm doing good to enter the book, so there's no worries for me there. You know, I'm so far behind in updating my Goodreads.
This may be a little easier for me to do this episode because I think you buy as you want. And not necessarily the way I do, which is basically totally random and haphazard.
To an extent, yes, I think I agree with you. And I think I've mentioned a couple of times that John and I really have never put a limit, like a budget limit on books. Mm-hmm. And we've also told our kids that as well. Mm-hmm. So books were and are always a great present for our family.
Oh, my goodness, yes. So to jump in, the first two books I'm going to talk about are books that are very, very hard to find secondhand. And that is because they're either wildly popular or new. The first one is The Lincoln Highway by Amar Towles. And it is his latest. It's about brothers who are going cross country. Oh my gosh, hold on. Okay. It's about brothers. Okay. I don't know. It's about brothers who are going cross country to find their mom, and they encounter stowaways, hobos, and thieves on their journey.
I have heard so many good reviews for The Lincoln Highway. That is my next TBR list. I also heard that it mixes Shakespeare and mythology in with the storyline somehow.
Yes, I'm gonna agree with that. Yes.
And the person who was talking about it was like, don't let that scare you away. And I'm like, oh no, that draws me in.
Yes. Well, but you know, because it does it in such a very good fiction, well-written way. Did you read mm-hmm. both his Gentleman in Moscow and Rules of Civility?
Yes. Gentleman in Moscow. I haven't read the other one yet.
Okay. Well, they're both very, very good. And this one does mm-hmm. not disappoint. But if you read my review of The Lincoln Highway, you'll see that I really struggled with it. Maybe the first 25% of it.
Oh, good Lord. You know, I'm glad it doesn't, you know, mine is if I can't get past the, you know, first page, I'm like, oh.
Yes. The second find, and this is going to make you very happy, Rachel, is Harry Potter number 5.
I'm giving you a clap.
And Carmen gets a clap offering. So now I have all of the series in hardcover with the exception of number 6. So when I go to the Friends of the Library store, I always, here is my, the way I do things in the library store. I always start in hardcover fiction, and then I go to trade paperback fiction, and then young adult, then classics, then poetry. So I've got a pretty good path laid out, and I was so excited when I saw 4 or 5 hardcover, thank you, Martini, Harry Potter books. And number 5 was the only one that I needed that they had. And I'll tell you what, I really wanted it because that sumbitch was $4.
Oh my gosh, that's a steal, girl.
I know. But you know, that also reminded me, not too long ago, I also found The Ichabod by J.K. Rowling.
I've got it too. Yes. I love it. Wasn't Amanda talking about it too?
I think that is exactly right. It was one of her favorites.
It's one of mine. It's a really cute story.
Well, I'm excited to read it. So I found both of those.
That is so fun. Well, real quick, I just got done. I do a lot of book talk on TikTok. And this one girl talked about her dad gave her the best birthday gift, which was these designer covered Harry Potter series. I loved them. And then she got the hardbacks, and they were done in the schools. So you could get a Slytherin cover. You could get, you know, a Hufflepuff cover. You could get a Gryffindor cover.
When you do that, did she have to get one in every school, or did she just go to the
series? So the series, every book was a different, you know, school.
Oh, not that you could get the whole school in Slytherin.
She said that you could, but she didn't have that. She had one every, like, one was, you know, Hitler and Slytherin. You know, she had them all separate, but you could also get them all in one. And I thought, oh my gosh, it's going to send me down a rabbit hole now. Because we've got two sets of Harry Potter collections.
Well, you know, I think that we need to just pause on this episode for a moment and talk about how it is vital. If you are a reader and book collector,
yes,
to get different covers.
It's amazing.
Well, The Master and Margarita, I have one collector's edition that I won't even open. It has like onion skin, vellum in it. And then I got one that I read, and then I got a hardcover anniversary edition. So I have three of those. And I know you have said over and over that if the book has been made into a movie,
I will not buy the movie cover book.
So you will never have The Great Gatsby with Leonardo DiCaprio on the cover.
No, that does not exist in my world. Or TV series, you know, or anything. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like The Handmaid's Tale.
Or even like, you know, what is it? Gray. What's the, you know, the semi-pornographic?
50 Shades.
That was it. And now they've got, you know, it started out, it had like a tie, was the original cover. And now they've got like pictures on it. I'm like, no.
Like, yeah.
And I don't even like that series. And I'm like, oh, how could you do that? No, no, no.
Well, you know, I do think that it may encourage people who are not readers to pick up the book.
Whatever.
If they see the tie.
No.
Right, we don't want to be Judger McJudgerson.
You know what? They've even changed the crawdads. Where the crawdads sing.
Shut up right
They've
now.
They've even changed that. They've changed it already.
Nope.
Yep.
But.
I know. I don't like that either.
Okay, but.
Anyway.
If it makes someone read that book that wouldn't normally read it because they see the movie on the cover, then that's okay. We just want you to continue along the path of
reading.
Thank you.
And then hopefully you'll become a book snob eventually, like us, and do the right thing. Okay. Hey guys, I want to let you know that I have added a lot of great new Bubbly Bibbly merchandise on our website. So be sure to visit bubblybibbly.com to check it out and get you some.
The other score, Rachel, I found was a very favorite of mine, Lincoln in the Bardo by George Saunders.
Okay, I thought you had that one already.
Nope. I bought a signed copy of his latest one, A Swim in a Pond in the Rain, which I was supposed to read with our friend Kathy. Now, I know that she read it and loved it, but I can't remember what something happened to keep me from reading it. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the chasm of time occurred, and I'm pretty sure that was, like, over a year ago. But Lincoln in the Bardo won the Booker Prize, and that's what caught my attention at first. But it is such a beautiful story, and it is written in a way that I've never seen in another book. So if you haven't picked this one for your list, I really, really encourage you to take a look at it.
I love the title, by the way.
Yes.
A Swim in the Pond, in a Pond in the Rain. That's just beautiful. It's almost poetic. Well, I'm going to surprise you because when we do go to Asheville, I actually hit a couple of different bookstores. There's one downtown near my favorite Japanese restaurant. And then there's The Exchange, which is a used bookstore, but a champagne bar as well, of course.
Oh, hell yes.
But we were in some little town, and there was another bookstore. We went in that had a big sale going on, and so I went in, and we actually bought a few books. And this one was like, this is a new one. It was The Goldfinch by Donna Tartt.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not read it yet. You can see the receipt is still in there. And I think it was like 50% off. I don't know. It was a really good. And it's about a mother who dies, and somehow it ends up going into like some sort of art world and like mystery and, you know, suspense. And like, it's supposedly something to do with this painting she had. And I don't know. It sounds really interesting. I've not read it yet. You can see I'm still buying new books instead of reading this is my bed book, by the way.
So Rachel,
one of my bed books.
I'm looking at the book. I know the podcast listeners can't see this, but that looks pretty herky. How many pages is that bastard?
It is it's 962 pages.
Fuck me right now. Are you kidding?
Mm-mm.
That
no.
book better be this damn
be
good.
I know. It's a winner of the Pulitzer Prize. So that doesn't mean anything because we've talked about awards before. So but
wow.
Anyway.
So another two books that I can't believe I found are the first two in the Griffin and Sabine series by Nick Bantock. There are seven books in this series, and it is such, oh my God, it is such a cute series of books. It's like an activity book for adults. Because you open
what?
It.
I love that.
I know. It's like correspondence between Griffin and Sabine. So when you open it, you have postcards, you have envelopes with letters inside. And it's just, you know, the first to find one is very unusual. And to have it intact, like the letters in the mm-hmm. envelopes, is even more surprising. But to find the first two, that's like time to play the lottery.
Yeah, right.
For me.
I agree. My gosh. Well, the other book, my other bed book, since we're talking about like purchases and everything, was the first one in the Leviathan Wakes I'm showing you. By James A. Corey. And it's kind of based, it's now a series on Amazon Prime called The Expanse. But you miss a lot of the nuances if you just watch the show, because of course the book is always better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's really good. It's very science fiction. And it's one of those things where John read the book. And then we watched the series, and now I want to read the book. So,
okay, well, let me just point out the obvious right here, which is I thought that you are reading or buying mostly ebooks and Audibles, but the last two you've just showed me are physical
books.
Yes.
Yeah. And
so,
yeah.
So, is that why you say they're your bed books?
Yeah, I usually keep them by my bed. Although sometimes I will read with my iPad, but that's if John's kind of already asleep or sleepy. I'll just read with my iPad, less mm-hmm. light, because I mm-hmm. use it in the dark theme.
Yeah,
but if we're
yeah.
both reading, I'll use a book.
But I seem to remember you telling me that you don't read those very quickly because you usually
no.
only have about 10 minutes before you go to sleep. So
yep.
it interests me that you're saving the largest books, like the most verbose
I know,
books,
right.
for your bed books.
Those are I know, right? I don't know why I did that.
Yeah, I mean, grab that last one again and tell me. So it's not the Donna Tartt one, but tell me how many pages it is.
Oh, my Lord. It's this one is only 582.
Oh, well, that should only take you like 2 years then.
Yeah, I'm on. Let's see. I don't even think I'm on chapter 10, Miller.
Well, that's a lot. I mean, what page is chapter 10?
101.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. That's pretty good. So I realized not too long ago that I need to increase my collection of poetry. And we have all memorized Stopping by Woods on a Snowy Evening. Right. That is like my favorite poem of all time. But I need to give more time reading poetry. So I picked up 3 poetry books on my last visit to the store. The first one is called On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous by Ocean Vuong. And this one is semi-autobiographical, and it's written in the form of a letter to his mother, who is illiterate, and they're Vietnamese. And so he's writing in English to his illiterate Vietnamese mother. And I watched a couple of interviews with him. He was talking about how we use writing to get to a person, but what we don't realize very often is writing also can be oceans away from a person. And so it's just his interview itself was very poetic. He has said that he was inspired by one of the authors that I spotlight a lot, James Baldwin's Go Tell It on the Mountain. And
yeah, that's another one of our author spotlights in the newsletter.
Yes, yes, yes. And he was on one of those late night shows, and he was writing this one, On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous. And he had roommates that were very loud. They were very nice roommates, but they were very loud. So he told Seth, what's his name? The late show, Seth Meyers.
Seth Meyers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So he told Seth Meyers the only place he could go to get away from the noise was the closet. And he said the irony... He, as a gay writer, wrote this in the closet, did not escape him.
In the closet. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it's just On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous. And that it just is such a beautiful title, and I can't wait to read it.
Let's put a pin in this and come back to give up some more titles.
I found 2 books in my personal library that I am going to give to 2 listeners. So stay tuned to Bubbly Bibbly for details on the books and how you can get them. So the 2 books now that I have to give away to 2 listeners came this way too. One is a duplicate that I already had in my library. What happened was I had the soft cover and then I found the hard cover. And so I'm going to give the soft cover away. And the other one is a Christian fiction that I bought when I was trying to broaden my genre horizons. So they're both fiction, but they are very, very different.
And what is the criteria for getting these books?
Well, and you and I have not talked about this, Rachel, so we may want to hash this out.
Bring it on me, girl.
I looked at some of the other sites out there and came up with this. If you will share two of our podcast links on social media and tag five different friends in each one that you think would enjoy listening to our podcast, I will put your name in for a drawing.
Okay, so that's two shares of a podcast episode or just a link to our homepage. So two shares and tagging of a total of 10 different friends, right?
That's right.
Okay, that sounds pretty simple and an easy way to get a free book in the mail.
And the sound of our cheering fans means it's time for listener comments.
Debbie posted on our social media that she is on a Michael Connelly kick, watching the new Lincoln Lawyer series on Netflix, which is based on the Brass Verdict. So she's reading that one and has some others lined up. So thanks for letting us know what you're reading, Debbie.
And Danielle reached out to me recently with the nicest thing anyone's told me in a while. She was listening to the perfume episode, and she said that, first of all, she didn't know anyone on the face of the earth that put perfume on the back of their knees. And that was,
we're old school. We are old school like that, girl.
That was just the funniest thing. But then the nicest thing she said to me was, she told me the sound of my voice made her smile.
Oh my gosh, Carmen. And thanks to Autumn for posting a funny meme out there. You know how I'm all about the memes, about reading a book about Stockholm Syndrome. It was hilarious. Thank you, Autumn. And if you want to see it, go check out our social media page on Facebook. Let us know what you have purchased lately and whether it is a physical book, ebook, or an audiobook. We want to hear from your titles.
And let us know where you buy. I love to discover new places. And of course, continue to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and www.bubblybibbly.com.
And a beautiful quote from Layla Gifty Akita: I spent all the money I had to get the sacred books of my life.